Good morning. I want to share with you my top 10 list from 2017. Number 10, Pastor Chris shaking his head often at the rest of the pastor's stupid human tricks. Number 9, Pastor Chris shaking his head often, very often, at the rest of the pastor's stupid human tricks. Number 8, Pastor David's 3-point shot percentage rose from 1% to a lights out 3%. Number 7, Jim Hansen ending an elder meeting by 9:30. Number 6, our new pulpit, which I can hide behind like chicken wire, as Jake and Elwood did in the Blues Brothers. Number 5, Pastor Nate's biker mustache. If you didn't get a chance to see it, it was quite amazing. Number 4, my driving one of our elders' red sports cars while listening to Red Barchetta by Rush. Number 3, Pastor Jim's uncontrollable laughter while watching movie clips. Number 2, Pastor David trying to catch fish at the pastor's retreat using an AR-15 rifle. And number 1, this past year, no one came on stage to rebuke or try to dance with Pastor Jim while he was preaching. Well, thank you. I'm no David Letterman, but thank you. Well, now on to more serious matters. Every year at this time, I'm reminded of what happened to me during the very early morning hours of January 1, 1996. That's when I cried out to God, "God, would you please show yourself to me?" And shortly after praying that, through reading the Gospel of John, chapter 1, God did show himself to me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I had experienced the same exact thing that Peter did in Matthew, chapter 16, when Jesus told him that he was blessed. And why was he blessed? Because God, the Father, had revealed to him who Jesus truly is. And God had revealed to me who Jesus truly is. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is fully God and fully man, that he died on the cross for my sins, and that he was raised from the dead. And I'm eternally grateful to God. Before January 1, 1996, I had tasted just about everything the world has to offer, at least on some level. And I can assure you that nothing and no one tastes as good as the goodness of the Lord. Most of us have heard that a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, let's see. Yep. That was me. Before January 1, 1996. And I'm not referring so much to the hair and the guitar garb and the Harley and the rock and roll persona, but the look on my face and the look in my eyes that came from a desperately wicked and empty heart. After I was born again, I kept the hair until too much fell out. I kept the Harley until my first daughter, Anna, was born, and I continued to play guitar. What had changed was that God had given me a new heart that truly desired to live for him and to trust that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and that he was raised from the dead. And that was my only hope of eternal life. So what is it that causes someone to crave God and crave his word like a newborn baby craves its mother's milk? Well, the word of God gives us the answer in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through chapter 2, verse 3. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word. Starting in verse 23, we read, "For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good." You may be seated. Would you pray with me? Gracious and holy Father, I pray that you'll work by your Holy Spirit in connection with your word today, so that every single person in this room would crave you and would crave your word, and all for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, today we're going to see what it is that causes people to crave God and His Word. And to start with, no one will crave God and His Word unless they are born again. Look with me at verse 23. "For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." Paul is obviously writing in verse 23 to those who have been born again. For he writes, "For you have been," past tense, "born again." And he tells us that they've not been born again through something that is temporary, through something that is perishable, through something that is man-centered and that will die. No, he says you've been born again through the living and enduring Word of God. The Word of God is eternal, as verses 24 and 25 teach us. "For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." A person will only truly crave God and His Word after they are born again. You see, we all come into this world born physically alive and yet spiritually dead. We're born separated from the life of God and with God's wrath upon us. When a person is born again, they move from the realm of spiritual death to the realm of spiritual life. Spiritually dead people do not crave the one true God who exists in three co-eternal and co-equal persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Spiritually dead people create gods in their image rather than worshiping the God who has created them in His image. Spiritually dead people continually, constantly crave people, places, and things rather than the one true God. Romans 1:25 says, "They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worships and served created things rather than the Creator." Romans 1:25 describes me constantly before January 1, 1996. And Romans 1:25 describes everyone who has not bowed their knee to the lordship of Jesus Christ and who's not truly trusted in His death on the cross as full payment for their sins and His resurrection as their only hope of eternal life. For someone to be born again and thus come to know God in a saving way, they must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit works by and with the Word of God, the gospel, in giving spiritual life. Salvation is due solely to the grace and to the mercy of God. Let's look at some verses that show us the importance of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working together and giving spiritual life to the spiritually dead. James 1:18 says, "He chose to give us birth through" what? "Through the word of truth." Titus 3:5 says he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by what? By the Holy Spirit. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through what? Through the word of Christ. And Jesus said in John chapter 3 that no one can see, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, unless he's born again. And he went on to say that the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Someone cared enough about me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with me in October of 1994. And then 14 months later, I cried out to God that he would show himself to me. And shortly thereafter, through reading his word, God did reveal who he was to me. And whether it was before or whether it was during my reading of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, God had given me spiritual life. I was born again. And by his grace and his grace alone, I had a new heart that desired for Christ to be Lord of my life. I wanted to live for him and follow him. And I truly trusted his death on the cross and his resurrection as my only hope of eternal life. And when by God's grace, a person moves from spiritual death to spiritual life, they crave God and they crave his word. A person must be born again to crave God and his word. Now, what helps to motivate a person who is truly born again to continue to crave God and his word? Well, look with me at verse 3 of chapter 2. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. It is trusting in God's goodness, his love, his grace, his mercy that motivates people to crave him and to crave his word. How can we not crave God and his word if we know him? God is always good. He is always perfect love. He is always in control. He is always the truth. He's always all-knowing. He's always everywhere present. He's always all-powerful. He is always faithful. He never, ever, ever changes. Everyone who is born again has tasted of the goodness of the Lord. If you are born again, you know that Jesus is fully God. You know that he left the glories of heaven and took upon humanity. You know that he lived the perfect life for you. You know that he died on the cross for your sins, though you deserve nothing but God's wrath. You know he was raised from the dead. You know you are forgiven. You know you're part of his eternal family. You know that you are guaranteed a resurrected body in which you will spend eternity with God in heaven. And you know that even today in the here and now, you have the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead available to you to live for God's glory. All who've ever truly been born again have tasted of the goodness of the Lord in salvation. And guess what? The same goodness of God tasted in salvation is the same goodness of God that you can taste every day after salvation, and it will motivate you to crave after God and to crave his word. How can we not crave him, knowing how great he is and what he's done for us through Jesus Christ? How can we put anything or anyone above spending time with God and his word? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do we treasure? We know what we love and treasure by what we're willing to sacrifice for, with our time and our talents and our treasures. And when you truly know God, it's no sacrifice at all to spend time with him in his word. When we focus on the goodness of God and taste how great he is, nothing will keep us from feasting upon the word of God. every morning to start off our day, those of us who are truly born again should be praising and thanking God for who he is and for Jesus' death and resurrection. Why? Because God deserves the glory. He deserves the praise. And it will motivate us to crave God and his word rather than to crave this world and its artificial joy. Psalm 90:14 says, "Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may be glad and sing for joy all of the days of our life." Focusing on the goodness of God leads to craving God in his word. Now, what can hinder someone who is truly born again from craving God in his word? Look at verse 1. It says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." Sin hinders us from craving God and his word. Worshiping people, places, and things hinders us from craving God and his word. Putting anyone or anything above God hinders us from craving God and his word. So what's the solution? Verse 1 commands us to rid ourselves of sin. When we focus on the goodness of God, we will crave him and his word. However, when we buy into the lie that sin and worshiping people, places, and things is good for us, then we will not crave God. We will crave sin. Most of you probably heard the old saying that the word of God will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from the word of God. Well, depending upon the meaning we pour into that, truth can be found there. Those who want to hang on to sin will not crave God and his word. And it doesn't have to be notorious wild sin that keeps us from craving God and his word. It may just be the sin of laziness or worshiping the heart idol of ease and comfort. God is to be our number one priority in life above all people and all things. The greatest, the first commandment is to love God with our entire being. A heart that hates its own sin will crave God and his word. A sin-sick heart will not crave God and his word. So what does it look like to crave God and his word? Well, look with me at verse 2. "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." Most of you know what it sounds like for a baby, a newborn baby, to crave its mother's milk. And you don't get the impression that they can take it or leave it, or that they can wait until tomorrow. No. They crave it deeply and loudly and intensely and daily, as if their life depended on it. Those of us who've come to spiritual life in Christ should crave God and his word like a newborn baby craves its mother's milk. We should crave it as if our life depended on it. Jesus said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And oh, how we should delight in it. If we do not crave God and his word, we are at least spiritually sick and unhealthy, or maybe worse. Maybe we're still spiritually dead. We must ask ourselves, do we truly crave God and his word? And if not, we're not healthy. I've combined the thought of craving God and his word together in this message because to crave God's word in the right sense is to crave God himself. When a born-again person spends time in the Bible, they're not just reading a book. They're spending time with God himself, the author of the book. The Bible is the living and enduring word of God. It is God's breathed out words to us. Verse 2 says, we're to crave pure spiritual milk. Why? So that we may grow up by it. It is impossible to grow as a follower of Christ as we should apart from time with God in his word. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is found in His Word. If we know Him, we want to know Him better. We want to love Him more. And we want to become more like Him. And this growth will not take place ever apart from spending time with God in His Word. I doubt very seriously that any of us in here go one single day without eating meals. Can we say the same about feasting upon the Word of God? God has given us so many pointers to Him in our everyday lives. He's given us a thirst for water, and yet He is the living water. He's the only one who can quench the thirst of the human heart. He's given us a hunger for food, and yet He is the bread of life. He's the only one who satisfies the hunger of the human heart. Oh, that we would crave God and His Word above all people and above all things. My wife, Dorinda, has had a few surgeries since we've been married. And each time, that day, after surgery and in pain, she has still spent time with God and His Word. She spends time with God and His Word every single day, regardless of how she feels. One of my non-negotiables in considering a wife was someone who spent time with God in His Word every day. And God has blessed me with a wife who does just that, and my daughters with a mom who's a wonderful example of showing them what's really important in life. Spending time with God in His Word should be something that every born-again person does. And not because we have to, but because we want to, because we delight in who God is and what He has to say to us. How can we not do this if we've tasted of His goodness? And He's not just a little good. He's great. He's awesome. He's better than Frosted Flakes. Children should be taught to spend time with God and His Word as soon as they know how to read. What kind of example are we providing for children in this area with our children? What are we showing them is really important in life? Is it spending time with God and His Word? Consider this. How healthy is a marriage in which the husband and wife do not communicate to one another on a daily basis? Not very healthy. God speaks to us through His Word. We speak to Him in prayer. Daily communication with God, and thus a healthy relationship with God, should include daily time with Him in prayer and in the Word. If we're not making time with God our number one priority, there is someone or something we have placed above God. Now, we're not to look at time with God and His Word as something we simply check off our list or some legalistic requirement. No. We want to spend time with God and His Word because of how great He is, because of what Christ has done for us. That should make time in the Word as natural as getting out of bed in the morning, as natural as our daily eating and drinking. King David wrote in Psalm 19 that the Word of God should be more precious to us than gold and sweeter to us than honey. I want to read Psalm 19, 7 through 11 for you, and just listen to these descriptions of the Word of God. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So often, we're looking for all these things out there in people, places, and things. Nothing out there is perfect. Nothing out there truly revives the soul. Nothing out there is truly trustworthy all the time. It's not true wisdom. It's not always right. It doesn't truly give that deep joy. It doesn't give us the light we need. It's not as radiant as God and His Word. It's not totally pure. Only God is. This endures forever. It's always sure. It's always altogether righteous. It's the foundation we must build on. It's much more precious than anything out there. It's true gold, and it tastes better than anyone or anything else in the world. And it warns us, and we need warning so that we don't ruin our relationship with God, so we don't mess up other people's lives, and so we don't destroy our own lives. And there's great reward in reading the Word of God. God has given us His precious Word so that we can know Him better, so we can love Him more, and so we can become more like Him. If you're not currently regularly spending time with God and His Word, turn from this self-inflicted sickness to a healthy, balanced diet of feasting on the Word of God. And this is not a difficult thing to do. We sleep every day. We eat and drink every day. We go to the bathroom every day. I'm sure we can spend time with God and His Word every day. And let me say this to those who've lost their eyesight and cannot read the Word of God any longer. I can't imagine how difficult that is. I cannot imagine what it's like to not be able to hold this in my hands and read it. My heart breaks for you. Yet I encourage you to have someone read the Word of God to you, to listen to it on CD or some other device. I have a dear godly aunt who lives in the Muncie area who's blind. She cannot read the Word of God anymore. And so my mother often goes to her home and reads the Word of God to her. That's a wonderful thing to do. If you can't read the Word of God any longer, ask someone to read it to you. If you know someone who can't read it any longer due to eyesight problems, read it to them. So where do we start with craving God and His Word? Well, first, we must be born again. Matthew chapter 7 tells us that many people will come to Jesus on the day of judgment, and they will say, "Lord, I did this and I did that in your name." And He will say, "Get away from me. I never knew you. You never knew me." Many people have repeated the so-called sinner's prayer. They've walked down an aisle at a church service. They've been baptized. They become a member of a church. They do outwardly good things, and yet they've never truly been born again. They're not on the way to heaven. They're on their way to hell. If you have questions about what it means to be born again, please come and talk with us. If you're certain you're born again, but you're not craving God and His Word as you should, don't look at the floor. Don't fall into a self-despair, self-focused attitude like Eeyore, saying, "Well, I guess I'm beyond hope." No. Oftentimes, that's just an excuse for not wanting to do what's right. Just set aside, put off whatever it is that's keeping you from spending time with God and His Word. Simply be honest, confess, and ask forgiveness from God and to those you've not been a good example for. And then start spending time in the Word. Set aside a time every single day that you'll let nothing get between you and time with the Lord and His Word. And make sure you praise God every morning for His goodness and for Jesus' death and resurrection. And that will motivate you to want to spend time with God and His Word. Remember that the same goodness of God tasted in salvation is the same goodness of God you can taste every single day of your life after salvation. Read a chapter a day, especially if you're not used to this. Read a chapter a day starting in the Gospel of John. 21 chapters. When you're done with John, go to Matthew. Read a chapter a day throughout the entire New Testament. Then go to Genesis and read through the whole Bible. That's a wonderful plan to begin with. And I encourage you to read through books of the Bible. Don't just read a verse in Psalms on Monday and Jeremiah on Tuesday, Hebrews on Wednesday, and Revelation on Thursday. Read through books of the Bible in their context. That's the healthiest way to read the Word of God. Don't just read the daily bread. Nothing wrong with that, but don't make that your only time. Don't just read another devotional. Don't just read a Bible commentary. Spend time with God in His Word, reading through books of the Bible in their context. Pray before and after you read the Word. Focus on what it says about God and how you can apply it to your life. You can do this. Everyone in this room can do this. If you say you can't, you're saying you won't. And don't rush through your time with God. Spend time with Him. Love it. Think about who He is. Ask Him to help you do what it says. Have someone in your family, your life group, or another faithful Christian hold you accountable to time in the Word. And if you need help, come and ask one of us elders to help you. That's why we're here. And please remember this. Don't ever look at spending time with this as simply reading a book, but spending time with the One who loves you so much that He sent His only Son to suffer and die on a cross and be raised from the dead that you could have eternal life. If you are born again, God has saved you. Why? To worship Him and to have a relationship with Him. Jesus, who is God, defines eternal life like this. This is eternal life, that you may know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. And we're only going to know God better is by spending time with Him in His Word. When by God's grace, on January 1, 1996, when I cried out to God, I cried out to know Him. If we truly want to know Him rather than just getting things and help from Him, here's what will happen. We will crave Him and His Word like a newborn baby craves its mother's milk. Amen? Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for the precious gift of your Word. May we truly seek to delight in spending time with you, because you are good, you are great, and thank you so much for the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, may we look at spending time in your Word as not just reading a book, but spending time with you. Help us to do this because we want to, not because we have to, because we delight in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.